Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network, and this is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger, in the heartland, in the bunker, right here in north central Indiana, coming to you and going out to the world. Yeah. It is April the 14th, 2009, and it's Tears Day, as Frankie straightened me out on. It's Tears Day. Little wet here in the heartland. Yeah, it's raining off and on. Make the flowers grow. Make the mushrooms grow. Do you ever hunt mushrooms? Yeah, I used to hunt mushrooms all the time when I was a kid. Haven't done it since I've been back here in Indiana yet. Never eat them. Give them away. Love to hunt them, though. Yeah, just sort of like going out on Easter egg hunt. One thing for sure, if you can find a mushroom, you can find a landmine out there. It's good practice. If you're in an area where they have mushrooms, I'm not kidding. You got to crawl through the underbrush and all over the place, and they're hard to spot. And it's a good way to train for looking for landmines. Well, I have a question to ask you, boys and girls. I got a call from Hal Turner last night, and I don't think I'm giving away any state secrets. And he'd asked me to come on once a week and do a call-in radio show. And he says he's changing his ways as far as the way he operates and so forth. What do you think? Should I go on there and do a weekly call-in radio show for Hal Turner? Yeah. What do you think? Well, I see the Somalians are kicking ass. They're coming right out. And they hit them hard this morning. Well, I got to listening to a few things that were going around the web, and I see that the corporations have been dumping, allegedly, a lot of nuclear waste and all kinds of crap off the coast of Somalia. Now, the Somalians are claiming that's killing the fish, killing their fishing industry, and so forth. Well, I told you a long time ago, I'm not against people of other colors in their own country. It's their business. They run their country as they see fit. I just don't want them coming into our countries, North America and Europe and Australia and places like that. They stay where they belong, then we can get along fine. But I can't get along fine with these big corporations that do all kinds of shit. Now, a lot of those ships are shipping arms to blacks and things like that that are coming through there. Well, you see, that just causes all kinds of problems. There should be international law against the arms trade and execute anybody involved in it. The United States is one of the biggest arms dealers, so there's some people in this country that deserve to be tried and executed, because all you do is spread problems. Those people have it tough enough without giving them guns and stuff like that. And also, they're even shipping foodstuffs down there, and I think that we should let nature take its course. If blacks can survive in these African countries, well, they survive. If they die, they die on their own. That's up to them. So I think, and also the tactics of the Somalians, the pirates, as they call them. I think it's sort of interesting. They've got some pretty cool tactics down there. Of course, it all goes back to the way man used to fight, hit and run, not only Indians, but white men and a lot of other people. They used to hit and run, packs. Cro-Magnon man must have followed the wolves around and watched the wolves. Hit and run, yeah. So, I'm sorry, boys, again. No, I'm not really sorry. Fuck the corporations and screw their U.S. government, who are branding us the most dangerous terrorists in the country. Can you believe that? They put that out. We put it up there on the web that lone wolves and and leaderless resistance, the most dangerous threat they've got in the country. They're setting us all up, of course, but they can set us up all they want. If they don't know who you are, and it's going to be a little tough, because they know. Now, here's the pot calling the pan black. The terrorists are the U.S. government. They're not only terrorists out in the world invading countries that they have no business invading, but they're terrorists inside the country. Now, they got rid of Posse Comitatus. That was a terrorist act. They're getting rid of the Fourth Amendment. That's a terrorist act against the people. They use their power and their threat of power and the police power and the federalizing of the local police. That makes them terrorists. We're not terrorists. We're defending ourselves against terrorists. As far as I know, there's not been any buildings blown up by lone wolves that I know, at least not lately. However, it could happen. You never know. But the point is that, like I say, the pan calling the pot black. Those bastards that dare to call us danger to who? Yeah, we're dangerous to them. We're dangerous to the politicians, and we're dangerous to the corporations. We're dangerous to non-whites who give us trouble. Yeah, I'm proud to be dangerous to them. I could do something at any moment. Yeah, I could. You never know when old Tommy might explode and go, "Today's the day." I want thousands of guys out there like that, and gals. Go to work every day, do your thing, live a regular normal life, and then one day you get up and say, "This is the day, baby." Yeah, that scares the corporate people. That scares those big CEOs that sit there in their office with nothing between them and the public but a big oak door. Yeah. Well, anyhow, let's see what else we got here. I was going to comment on. Oh yeah, the BNP. I don't know when they announced this, but they said they've got a BNP guy. I see an article here in the paper says Boston's first British National Party councillor, David Owens. "We're not racist. We're realist and patriotic." I don't use patriotic anymore. I don't. I don't think it's viable because there's so many assholes that use the word patriot. I don't know, what are you patriotic to? Real estate, business, politicians, the government, or are you patriotic to your race? If you're patriotic to your race, you don't even have to use the word patriot. You are for your race. Now, it says here, BNP has shocked everybody. Yeah, and I guess there's a Boston over there in England or something. I'm not sure about that. Guy by the name of David Owens. "We're not racist. We're realist and patriotic. And besides, we love Israel." So I've had this little tiff with Arthur Kemp, who I guess people think if a guy writes a fairly decent racial book that they're fairly decent people or they're fairly good soldiers. Well, I believe most people who write books would do anything to keep from bleeding. I've not known too many people that were good book writers that were good soldiers. Usually a good soldier has to talk his exploits to someone else and they put a book together. So anyhow, a lot of people say, "Well, how can you say these things about this wonderful person who wrote this racial book?" Well, he didn't save South Africa, did he? No. So, and now he's number four man, somebody tells me, Arthur Kemp, in the BNP. Well, that's sure reshuffling the chairs on the Titanic, the deck chairs, yeah. What the hell are they thinking about over there? They're talking about we got to do it politically through political parties. Jesus, didn't we learn that was through a long time ago? Hasn't the UK got past that? Well, they should all read that book, The Uprising. Yeah, that was a good book, sort of like Turner Diaries. So anyhow, they're over there talking about, "We're going to reinvent the wheel." Oh, I got an idea. Half the country's non-whites, ragheads, niggers, Asian, Chinamen, they're everywhere, and a bunch of race mixing whites, Jews, so we're going to put up a Democratic vote and we're going to win. Jesus Christ, how stupid could they be? How stupid could these people be? You're 20 years behind time of getting all your guns together and attacking Whitehall, man. I forget what Whitehall is. I guess that's some kind of a big building there, something to do with the government. Every day that goes by that the British UK people are not in physical armed revolt of some kind. I know that you voluntarily give up all your guns, and you voluntarily let them put up tens of thousands of cameras to spy on you. But every day that goes by that you haven't revolted and put blood in the streets is a day closer to Britain becoming Jamaica. Yeah. No, worse than Jamaica, don't have good weather. At least Jamaica and those places in the Caribbean, they got a lot of niggers, but at least you got good weather and beaches. Well, anyhow, that's enough of that. I pull the tail on the right wing all the time, and I'm going to keep doing it, too. And also, there's some of these right-wingers, even in this country, that said, we got to make a deal with the ragheads, the Arabs. That's a bunch of crap. That's a bunch of crap. They're filling this country up with ragheads. We want to get rid of them. Get them out of here. And what possible thing do we have to gain from linking up with the Arabs? There's nothing to gain and everything to lose. I guess a couple of Klan groups came out with that crap just to get their name in the paper, get on television or something. But I want you Arabs to understand, unless you might happen to be a rare white Arab and non-Islamic, because Islam is a very, very, very dangerous and bad religion, like the band, Bad Religion. So anyhow, anybody tries to say, well, we got to team up with the Arabs to get the Jews, that's like teaming up with Al Capone to get Legs Diamond. You're still going to end up with Al Capone still in the neighborhood. Hey, we got to put Frankie on here, my favorite gorilla man, just to excite the feds that are out there taping these things. Going to want to drag me and everybody else into the court someday and put us way back in the jail so far the Lord can't hear us holler or something like that. But fuck them. We're going to say what we're going to say right down to the end until they drag us away. And they may not do a very good job of that either.
Ghost Wolf Radio calling. Ghost Wolf. This is Ghost Wolf Radio calling. And here it is, 3:09 in the morning, March 15th, 2009. I just got off the air with you guys a few hours ago with program 6 of tape 3. Program 7 of tape 4. I don't know. Went to bed, tossed and turned. All I could do was just think about stuff. So, I might as well get as many of this stuff I can on tape, because, well, you never know when the last Ghost Wolf Radio show will be. You know, I'm going to talk about counter-guerrilla operations. Operations against guerrilla forces are characterized by aggressiveness, initiative, offensive action, and a continuous effort to gain and keep the support of the local population. Wow, we're starting off in a hole, aren't we? Sweet Ghost Wolves have no support. And that's not, I don't say that as something that's bad, it's just the way it is. That means that our program is going to be different than a lot of guerrilla programs in the past. I don't think that's something that we need to have a woe is me attitude about. It's just something we'll deal with. Remember, we don't want the masses. Well, what would we do with them? They'd be doing nothing but tearing the whole operation apart. Our goal is to reduce combat political and industrial effectiveness of our own country and those that try to buy it up. That's right. I've said it before, and maybe some of you out there don't think that maybe you don't want to buy into it because it's coming from me. The fact of the matter is, and I think it is a fact, that if you want to save the white race, you got to bring down the system first. Because if this thing goes along peacefully and merrily, black, brown, and yellow will outbreed us, and no problem. Within one generation, they'll be, you know, totally the dominant races on this landmass here, this North American landmass. And well on their way to being the dominant subspecies of the human species in Europe. So we want to reduce, you know, the industrial effectiveness of the country. We need to bring Mad Max. And as much as I don't want to, as much as I don't want to live in a society like that, it's necessary. It's a necessary evil. You want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs. And those that try to buy it up, all these foreign interests coming in this country. You know, like the Sears Tower in Chicago was renamed the Willis Tower. Some business company from London, some London-based company, came in Chicago and bought up the Sears Tower, which is like the tallest building in North America. I don't mind, you know, white Brits come here and buy up stuff. What I don't like are the Arabs and the Asians and the Africans and the Mexicans and the mestizos buying up stuff. That I just won't tolerate, and neither should you. Okay, we must be ruthless, cunning, and able fighters. All of you need to look in the mirror and ask yourself, are you ruthless? Are you cunning? Are you willing to fight? Our goal is to cross paths with as many people as possible who are discontented with the system, and without telling them our racial views. Nothing wrong with networking with even anarchists. Rub shoulders with them. Get to know them. Make friends with them. Maybe even spur them on to do stuff. But do not tell them your racial views at all. And then when you go with them, if you go with them on an op, if it's an anti-system op, by all means, go. You win their trust by doing stuff. They think you're an anarchist. The op gets done. And then, by the way, they don't know your true name. And they will not know where you live for real. Address you give them will be an abandoned house that you're using as a safe house. And after the op is done with the social Marxists or the anarchists, you know, and you've helped do some damage yourself, well, you make an anonymous call to the law enforcement and get them all thrown in jail. Kill two birds with one stone. You agitate, and you get to do some monkey wrenching. And they never knew who you really were. That could work. Oh, these balls. We will glean from them intelligence on institutions and personal resources, info that could aid us in the fine art of sabotage. We need to make friends with as many people as possible in all walks of life, banking, business, police. But they will never know our racial views because we are ghost wolves. Ghost, the operative word here. We're nameless and faceless. We just, you know, we have to become a terrible thought in the minds of people. There you are, you with your cop buddy, drinking beers. He's telling you about all these ghost wolves and stuff, and what they're doing around the country. And you'll be sitting there drinking your beer, like, yeah, fuck these bastards, man. I'm sick and tired of all this domestic terrorist bullshit. Then you just catch these guys and cut their fucking balls off. You'd be that cop's friend, not knowing the whole time. That cop, not knowing the whole time that he's befriended a ghost wolf. It's fucking poetry, man. I love that shit. Can you guys see the vision? We need to find a way to network and bring foreign nationals in under the guise of a vacation so we can train them. I think I've talked about that before. I'd love to get some kind of thing going, some kind of network going. And by the way, we are a face-to-face network, but we couldn't be face-to-face with our European allies or Australian insurgents. We've got to find a way where we can get them boys some training. You know, and maybe they know some things that we need to learn. So we got to find a way around that. Got to find a way around Interpol. As lone wolves, we have complete freedom of movement. That's true. Now, by the way, these all fall under counter-guerrilla operations. Okay? You get around counter-guerrilla operations by being ruthless and cunning, crossing paths with people who are disconnected with the system also. You know, befriend them, use them. You can glean intelligence from them. You need to find a way to network with foreign nationals without using the internet somehow. You know? The goal is to reduce combat political industrial effectiveness of our country. You know, that's a guerrilla activity, and they will do everything they can to counter that. So, these are some of the ways around counter-guerrilla operations. Okay, since we are one-man armies, we can disperse quickly and make decisive combat almost impossible. Almost impossible, because how will they be decisive with an individual? Okay? How easy is it for one man to disperse from the scene? It's a lot harder for a group. Through urban landscape, through forests, mountains. We by ourselves are hindered by the electronic world. We will not rely on that. Embrace lawlessness of other races to distract the system. Absolutely. Black guys want to rob a bank? Hold the door open for them. We wear nothing distinctive, and our race, our identity will only be manifested by the surprise of our deeds. That's right. We're not going to telegraph any deeds we do. Nope, what we're going to do, we're just going to surprise people. And then when we start getting people's attention, then we'll bring out the propaganda. Spray paint, magic markers. I favor spray paint. Messages, you know. And you'll do a message in one town and act upon it in like 2-3 towns over. Spread it out, vary it, set no patterns. Because we are by ourselves, we have to initiate. Because we are by ourselves, we have the initiative. Forcing our enemies to react rather than to act. A single ghost wolf's tactics allow him to strike at a time and place of his choosing. How can counter-guerrilla operations counter that? You don't belong to a group. You don't belong to a cell or a guerrilla movement that's putting out propaganda and trying to win over the people. We're not in contact. We're not debating with the people, talking about the people about race. These are the people that have turned us in. It's time to shut up. It's time to stop trying to debate with people. If you're into that, you know, if you're into that, then really, you really don't need to be listening to this show. You might as well just shut it off right now. Really. I mean, go ahead, shut it off. I'll give you a couple seconds. Go ahead. All right, because, you know, if you're debating with people, you're not a ghost wolf. You need to, and if you have the mental, you know, the intestinal fortitude to be a ghost wolf, come on, we need you. I know you can fight wars on a lot of different fronts. You can talk with, you can fight with words, you can fight with the written word, you can fight with demonstrations and TV appearances. We got enough people doing that. We have absolutely no soldiers in the street fighting by sound tactics anymore. And wear bomber jackets, boots and braces at a demonstration, that is not fighting. Familiarity with the area, okay? If you're unknown to the system, you don't have to travel far to be active. Motivation. All we need is a handful of ghost wolves to start their own personal war of the flea. Flea bites a dog in the ass. Before the dog can scratch that spot, he's gone. He's biting him on the belly. When the dog goes to scratch that, he's gone. He's biting him on the shoulder. Dog goes to scratch that, he's biting him on top of the head. I mean, hit and run, hit and run. You're not staying around watching your work, watching the dog tape off the scene or do whatever. You're gone. You don't need to fucking stand and admire your work. As a group, they were trying to ferret out our members who joined. They look for weak spots, you know, like a lion looks at a herd of, you know, gazelles or whatever. You know, he looks for the weak, the distracted, the ones that they think they can run down. That's what the Praetorian law enforcement people are like. And that's who they look for. But how can they do that if you're an individual who's unknown to them? They ferret out the members who joined only out of fear or because of mere discontent with the government. But will they succeed with the individual? I say absolutely, emphatically no. You ghost wolves, I guarantee you, you do things right, you put into practice the things I've talked about casual confidence, nondescript, uncharacteristic clothing, the little techniques I told you about with the sports bag, how to change your identity quickly. You know, you don't do it in the vicinity of your car. Remember what I told you about with the parking lots? Go back and listen to them shows over and over again. Okay, we will split contacts with the antisocial elements. Absolutely, the anarchists, even the Reds. And we'll pretend to be a Red. The immature, if need be. The fanatics, common criminals. Without letting them know who we really are or becoming immersed in their miserable lives. We have nothing to do with their miserable lives. We don't give a fuck about them. Okay? They're doing nothing for the race. They're dragging the race down. You have no sympathy for them. If you want to act like you got sympathy for them, go ahead. This mindset I'm sharing with you will work. I don't sit at home twisting my fucking mustache thinking of some fucking cool shit to say to you guys so I can try to elevate myself at resist.com. That's not what I'm about. Okay? I could very easily walk away from this shit tomorrow. I put this shit into practice. Don't make me regret it. Don't make me regret even telling you guys about this. Alright, we will befriend the security lackadaisical. You're watching a place, you see a guard who's pretty lackadaisical. Get to know that guy's routine. Find out where he hangs out. And conveniently be there one night. Buy him a beer. Tell him how shitty your life is. Try to build a camaraderie with him. We will befriend the talkers and the careless. Okay? and those who have a false sense of security because of their position in life, maybe. We will not draw attention to ourselves. No, we won't. I mean, if we're in a bar and we're trying to befriend someone, I know that's drawing attention to yourself, but I'm saying as you're swimming in the sea of the people, don't draw attention to yourself. You're not driving a flashy car. You're bland in everything, okay? Let that not fuck with your ego. You're a fucking soldier. You're behind enemy lines. You want to be successful? Apply this shit. You don't want to do nothing? You want to just fucking shoot emails to Tom Metzger for him to put on the news and views? Well, you can do that, but what I'm sharing with you guys right now, we need some soldiers. We got enough writers. We got enough talkers. We got enough people who can give great speeches. We need soldiers. We can't win this thing without soldiers. We will become familiar with the lay of the land. We will learn how to use existing obstacles to our advantage. That's when, you know, that's when you study the terrain for an op, you know. You know, if you got to make the enemy try to cross an obstacle to get to you. The best example I saw this one time is this, on this documentary about these bank robbers. They fled from the bank in their stolen car, and they were like the law enforcement wasn't right behind them, but they were like a block away or whatever. And they pulled into this cul-de-sac somehow, and they got out of the car, just left the car as it is, and they hopped this fence. And on the other side of this fence was another stolen car that they used for a getaway. So the police couldn't drive through the fence. I mean, they were stuck right there, you know, talking on the radio, trying to give make and model of the new car and description of the guys, but they never got them. They used that fence as an obstacle. That was smart of them. I'm not condoning bank robbery. I believe in law and order. I believe we should all be nice. All right. We will not be unaccustomed to fatigue, hunger, and hardship. We will harden ourselves. Have that steely will, a will of steel. We will be able to move great distances under very adverse terrain and weather in short periods of time and fight when we arrive. We need to be at that type of thing. You know, I remember one time I parked my car at least 5 miles away from where I had to go. And I exploited a lot of rough terrain to get where I'm going, because I'm a stickler about that. I don't want to walk on streets. I don't want to be seen. I don't want to be memorized, you know. And if I have to use streets, I'm going to dress, you know, in a way that's not going to attract attention. On the streets, I probably won't be dressed in all black. That stands out a little bit, even at night. I'll dress in earth tone colors, though, if I have to use streets. But if I can use the wood line, well, I'm going to be a fucking ninja. We will be elusive and vanish after we strike. We're not going to stay around and watch our work. Okay. I know this falls under counter-guerrilla ops. And I put it under this specifically. How do you counter that if you're one guy? You can't. I'm telling you, you guys will be batting 1,000. Just grab your balls. We will have the mental stamina to work through setbacks. I've experienced some serious setbacks. I don't want to go into specifics. I shared one on a tape earlier. We will embrace night to achieve stealth, secrecy, and surprise. We will magnify any careless or thoughtless act by the system to spread resentment anonymously. Okay. Right now I want to have a word from our sponsors. Ghost Wolf Radio is brought to you by the Insurgency Radio Network at resist.com, all made possible by very open-minded, highly motivated white Pan-Aryan Tom Metzger. He can be reached at tm_Metzger@yahoo.com. You can write in at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. He's got training DVDs just waiting to be borrowed. You can call the Airing Update line at 574-267-5036. Now, let us move on. I'm going to be talking about sniper stuff here now. And the reason why I want to talk about sniper stuff, because just in case any of you guys out there are going to train at Blackwater, this will be, you'll have the heads up on trains. That's the only reason why I'm sharing this stuff. Not that I'm going to create snipers out there. Absolutely not. We're just getting ready for, the Chinese occupation. Because we know it's coming. Just like the Easter Bunny in a month. Okay, a sniper must be physically and mentally hard and must be able to estimate range, search areas, locate and identify sounds, use cover, concealment, camouflage, use maps, sketches, aerial photographs, google.com, and the compass. He must be able to locate enemy personnel, equipment, quickly, move without detection, and under long periods of waiting. Okay? I think the mentally tough guy. You know, the attrition rate at Marine Sniper School or Army Sniper School is pretty high. You know, they'll start with maybe a class of 40 snipers and maybe only graduate maybe 4, You know, don't forget your ghillie suit. Make a ghillie suit. And it doesn't have to look like a fucking, Marine ghillie suit, but, something that you could alter your shape if you're at night. And they sell something like that at hunting stores. All you gotta do is just slip it over your clothes. And it's made out of a mesh, so it breathes real nice. It's not going to make you hot and sweaty. Dick's Sporting Goods got that. We got a store in Illinois called Dick's Sporting Goods. I don't know if it's in other states. I'm sure it is. But basically, it's like made out of a mesh, and it's got broken up pattern. I'm talking about actual material that sticks out from it. It just really meant to break up your outline, but it's breathable. It's pretty nice. Deer hunters buy it. Okay, targets are leaders. This is some of the stuff that they're going to train you at Blackwater. So know this stuff before you go there. You'll impress your instructor. Snipers look for leaders, gunners, radio operators, forward observers, and enemy snipers in a counter-sniper role. Or anyone who exposes themselves. You also gather intel and become familiar with enemy terrain and report enemy activities. You should have binoculars, a watch, a compass, camouflage clothing, and maybe infrared equipment. Now, camouflage clothing, I'm not actually talking about BDUs, camouflage army uniforms. That's not what I mean. I'm just talking about wearing clothes that you could wear on the street, but at the same time, if you're out in a field type of environment, you don't stand out either. Okay? Give you an example. Nice pair of pants, type of pants I like to wear are black Dickies pants. Maybe you guys like to shy away from Dickies because the sticks wear them, but the white man invented Dickies. Dickies was white workers' wear for 50 years. That's our shit. What, we're going to not wear that because I don't look like a spick? We invented that shit. Work boots? That's a white man's thing. Flannel shirts? They don't fucking deserve to wear that shit. They'd be wearing loincloths if it wasn't for the white man. Okay, snipers must have primary and alternate positions. You might have to camouflage your position to preserve the natural appearance of the terrain. Okay, you want to make sure that you blend in with the surrounding area. Okay, snipers work best in pairs so as to alternate duties. Looking through a scope, it starts to mess with your eye after a while. And scanning the terrain, it's good to switch off with a guy every 30 minutes or so. So if you work in pairs, that works best. Single snipers are employed when two might be detected. When it comes to moving through a field type of environment, wood type of environment, the less people there are moving, the less chance of detection. You have two guys moving through the woods, most likely they won't be detected than if you had 45 guys moving through the woods. You understand? Okay, single snipers are... Okay, when... Alright. One sniper may want to move from position to position so as to find and improve sectors of fire. Okay? Just saying basically that one sniper is more mobile than a sniper pair. Okay? A sniping post, you should try to approach from the rear with no covered routes to the flanks to hinder enemy flanking maneuver. Absolutely no prominent landmarks as a sniper post. They usually draw fire. You should not be skylined. Your background must help hide you. There's a lot in that point right there. A lot in that. If you pick a position, you don't want a bunch of covered and concealed avenues of approach coming to your flank. Because counter sniper operations, you know, they'll shoot at you from the front so they can maneuver a assault element to either one of your flanks. You want to have it so if they do try to flank you, they got to expose themselves, you know, from a good distance away, anywhere between 200 to 50 meters, you know. But don't forget, you're a sniper, one shot, one kill. You pop the guy, you're gone, all right? You're not going to sit there and keep shooting people. All right. Absolutely no prominent landmarks. So you're not going to get in a church bell tower, a church that's in the middle of a field outside of town. Okay? You're not going to get on top of a hill. Prominent land features, landmarks, you know, top of a tower or something, that attracts attention. Don't forget, when you pick your sniper's perch, you're back inside the room. Your muzzle does not protrude past the aperture of the window. You want the inside of the room to hide the flash and the dust that gets kicked up from the percussion of the round being fired, okay? What else was here? You should not be skylined. Absolutely. Do not skyline yourself. And don't forget, you can also skyline yourself at night, you know? But the enemy's got to be closer to see that. All right, no background. Your background must help hide you. Okay, I mean, you don't want a white background and you're in OD green or black or brown, you know? I told you guys that story when I went into the park one night in Berwyn, or just a park down the road, and I was watching these three Mexicans, and not knowing that to my back was a parking lot that was pretty lit up. Even though the field I was standing on was dark. And that Spitz would have looked over their left shoulder, they would have easily saw me because I was silhouetted, you know, the pavement of the parking lot, and then I'm, you know, wearing black, so they would have saw someone standing there. But, you know, I corrected my own mistake. So always look behind you when you think you've got a good position. Make sure that you don't stand out, you don't contrast the background. All right, before you shoot, move slowly and cautiously. Quick, jerky movements attract attention. The human eye is made to, you know, look for a movement like that. It goes all the way back to our monkey ancestors. All right. With two sniper teams, change duties, not position. Minimize movement. Okay. You're looking downrange at your target, and to your right is your spotter. And he's using his laser range finder, estimating ranges for you, getting the exact range so you could dial it in on your scope. When it's time for you guys to change duties, you're not going to like, all right, let me get over there and then you over here. No, he takes the sniper rifle, he's still on your right, and then you take the laser range finder, if you have one. I doubt if gorillas will have stuff like that, but it'd be nice. Things that lead to detection are shiny equipment, reflection from the binos, you know, like the binoculars, the glass. When you hold those things, hold it so the edge of the binoculars is at like your index finger and your thumb are around the edge, whereas you got the rest of the fingers hanging over the glass of binoculars. This takes away a lot of reflection. Okay? I'll have to show you sometimes if I ever do the ghost video thing that I was talking about with Tom Metzger. Okay, things that lead to detection also are uncamouflaged face and hands. An outline, maybe your skyline, maybe you're wearing clothing that contrasts your background. And noise and smoking. Okay, sniper with a unit should be forward of teammates on the move. Sniper can warn of enemy movement, helps locate targets for supporting weapons systems. And at the end of the mission, sniper should be debriefed because he probably seen things that the rest of the unit did. So the sniper's like a forward, he's forward of an advancing company or something like that. Using cover and concealment, he's in radio contact. He's going to see the enemy before the enemy sees him, most likely. Okay? And that's definitely bound to happen. All right. Here we go. We're going to talk about safe houses. I got three sheets on this shit, man. All right. Safe houses. Entering or leaving a safe house should be done at night. It could be done right after dusk. And you could be going to your safe house into it like right before dawn. Okay? Try your best to do all your leaving and coming during hours of limited visibility. Do not approach owner of safe house in front of witnesses. Okay? You're putting them on the spot. You're giving someone else outside the network seeing you and him talking. And all of a sudden your face, your mugshot's plastered all over the goddamn news nationwide. And his neighbor sees that mugshot and remembers that he saw someone fitting your description talking to his neighbor. Do not approach the owner of a safe house in front of his neighbors or his co-workers or friends. Make sure he's alone if contact's made that way. Do not approach safe house when people are nearby. You know, you definitely want, no, you don't want any witnesses seeing you go into that house. Okay? Even if it's dark, and even if, you know, you just, you don't want to leave anything to chance. You don't want to burn the guy who's operating the safe house. He's helping, he's a big part of the network. It's better for you to be burned than him. Because he's more underground than you are. The owner of a safe house has got to be somebody who's above reproach, who has absolutely no racial connections. If you seize his hard drive, he has absolutely no racial websites on it. Okay. Okay. Help may be refused if safe house owner, if someone has seen you approach asking for assistance. He can refuse help, or he can say, hey man, I don't know you. You must have me confused so much because you put him on the spot. Okay? So he can refuse help, and you may have to wait another 24 hours to get entry into that safe house. Never enter or leave safe house by front entrance. You know, the door that faces the street, which is most likely to be seen by neighbors or passing cars. If captured, you may become a prisoner, but safe house owner may fare much worse. Like I said, it's better for you to be burned. And you know what? You got to take one for the team. If it's you or the safe house owner, you got to go down. Because it's very hard to establish a safe house with a credible, above ground person. Okay? I know Jefferson Mack wrote a book for Paladin Press called something about the Underground Railroad and how it can be used in to shuffle spies around and stuff like that. I never got around to reading it. Any of you guys got it out there? I don't know, maybe I can borrow it. All right, if captured, you may become a prisoner, but okay. Any of yours, friends, or family's phone records can never have been on the safe house owner's phone number ever. What the? Okay, none of your phone number that you've ever had in your life No phone numbers of your friends or families can ever be on the safe house owner's phone record. Okay? I'm telling you, that's how they get a lot of people. They start looking at phone records, even years old. Okay? It's got to be somebody that you, your family, your friends have never talked to on the phone. His number's not going to show up on your records, your friends' records, or your family's records, and your numbers are not going to show up on his records. Okay? We just can't have it. You got to communicate. If you have a call, it's got to be from an anonymous source somehow. Payphone. A phone at a dispatch office that will call. You know. Safe house owners should have absolutely no affiliation with racial organizations, and they must not be known for racialism. You are not to know or go to a safe house. A rendezvous point to meet your guide should first be established. Okay? To keep it safe, to make sure that people are who they say they are, you should meet your guide that's going to take you to the safe house at a rendezvous point, whether it's a public place or out in the woods somewhere. If it's out in the woods somewhere, whoever gets to the safe house first has to, or whoever gets to the rendezvous point first, has to secure that rendezvous point and make sure there's no enemy personnel, or no prying eyes, no nosy neighbors, whatever. Okay? All right. Safe house should not be established in an area where a stranger will stand out. Okay? It'd be ideal not to have a safe house in a town that's only got 1,500 people. You're better off being in a city of 300,000. Alright? A hand sign or something else should be used for guide to identify the ghost wolf. Okay? And that's SOPs that we will develop over time, hopefully. Maybe I'm just fantasizing too much about what this ghost wolf thing could really evolve into. I hope I'm not just spinning my fucking wheels here. The guide should not hang out at a rendezvous point, but he should make casual trips by the rendezvous point, maybe for a day to make contact. If he hangs out at the rendezvous point, he could stand out. He could be noticed there by people. Maybe someone he knows, hey man, what are you doing here? You know, like that. He may need to make 4 to 6 trips by the rendezvous point during a 24-hour period to see if his ghost wolf is there, ready to be taken into the network. But if it's a place out in the woods that has absolutely no nosy villagers or no nosy townspeople, you know, maybe the guy could hang out there. So you got to play that by ear. Okay. A chosen rendezvous point should not cause the ghost wolf to stand out either, but should be inconspicuous. If it's a public place, a nice little cafe somewhere where he can hang out in the corner booth there drinking, you know, espressos and reading the New York Times or whatever while he's dressed in nondescript, uncharacteristic clothing. See how this all connects together? That's right. I used to be NSA. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Signs and countersigns could be used at the rendezvous point to ensure everybody involved are who they say they are. Our time of contact should be towards the end of the day, light hours, or shortly thereafter. At the end of daylight, or just after dusk, that'd be some of the best time to make contact. But then again, if it's in a public place like a cafe, well, you know, cafes are open late too sometimes. Okay? But then again, the cafe owner may see that you want to have it so when the guide and the ghost wolf make contact in public, that it's done in a way where it looks like they don't know each other. Okay? So a lot of your own personal stuff can go into this. But if this is over analysis, well, I don't know what to tell you. I got the stuff out of some military reading. Okay, time of contact should be told. All right, darkness should aid Ghost Wolf if contact should prove unfriendly. Maybe the guy he meets is pretending to be a guide, but since they're meeting at hours of limited visibility, you know, this could give Ghost Wolf a chance to maybe dispatch this guy with extreme prejudice, or maybe get out of Dodge. So, it's good that way. Okay, when contact is made, you may be told to wait in the vicinity, or be taken to another facility that is a holding area prior to the safe house. Okay, this is after you make, meet the guy at the rendezvous point. You may be taken to, be made to wait in a certain vicinity. Okay, they got to clear it first. They got to take you to a holding area first prior to the safe house. A lot of security, procedures in this, man. A safe house is an important thing. And I'm talking about a safe house that's in the network of Ghost Wolf cells. You can have your own personal safe house by finding an abandoned house somewhere. That could be a place for you just to lay low for a while. Here, I need that bump key who's ever got the technical savvy to make one, slip it inside a paperback book, and then mail it to Tom Metzger, and he can mail it to me. It would expedite me in helping me to clean these properties quicker and get more money. She'd be helping me to make more money because my sister owns these properties. Okay. It must be decided at this time, when you meet the person at the rendezvous point, to trust the contact. If there's any doubt, evade immediately, Ghost Wolf. And try to make contact with someone else and let them know, say, hey man, the guy I met, something didn't feel right about him. Okay? The contact should play a role that is pro-system and that he is on good terms with the system. That's the guide. You know, if you got to meet in a public area, okay, he may be wearing a t-shirt that says, God, guns, and guts. All three made America free, or something like that, you know, or something, you know, he could be dressed in a, carry himself in a pro-system way. He loves his government, he loves his, state government, city government, he loves being an American, you know, like that. So what are you guys carrying? All right, the contact should play the role that is pro-system. All right, I already read that. Okay. A lot of writing on this. Alright, verification of who you are may be required for protection of the safe house. That's to go here or there, because maybe you don't want to carry identification. Maybe you changed your appearance and you don't want to be caught with your license on you. I don't know. A lot of this stuff is flexible, okay? The constant danger facing a safe house owner is the penetration of the network by enemy agents. Okay? That's why all these procedures, these security procedures are in place. Getting guys to put up their own personal house as a safe house because they're sympathetic to our cause, there are very few, far and few in between guys that'll do that. So if we get one, we can't burn this guy. Absolutely not. All right. It is best to avoid talk, even in the safe house. Okay? Now, I mean, yeah, you can talk to the guy or this or that, but absolutely no loud music. You know, you shouldn't be, definitely don't get in an argument with anybody. Okay, so... But you don't want to be asking 20 questions when you get in there about the guy's personal life and this and that. The less you know about the safe house owner, the better. The less the safe house owner knows about the Ghost Wolf, the better. Okay? All right, follow the orders of the safe house owner. His ass on the line. He's got a lot more to lose probably than you do. Okay? If wait time at the rendezvous point is extended, Ghost Wolf should not become impatient, but he must decide for himself whether to stay or evade. Those forth in contact should be given 48-hour grace period to make contact. That contact is the guy, you know. If it's out in an discreet location, like out in the woods somewhere. In safe house, Ghost Wolf should stay indoors during daylight. Safe house owner should have a plan for a rapid escape. Okay, maybe like a tunnel out of the basement or something. It is incumbent upon the Ghost Wolf to remove all evidence that he was there. Don't leave that up to the safe house owner. He could space out on something, and you know, if he does come under some kind of investigation, they start searching his house and they find something that maybe had your fingerprints on it, or maybe, you know, a piece of paper that was personal to you. You, the Ghost Wolf, you make damn sure before you leave that safe house for the final time that you have absolutely no personal stuff in that house. Okay. 4 o'clock and all is well. Alright. Ghost Wolf, alright. In safe house, Ghost Wolf should stay indoors. Okay. Jesus Christ, I keep losing my fucking place. Alright, it would be a grave breach of security to discuss aspects of earlier stages of the network in later stages. Alright, you get in the safe house, right? And then you're talking with the safe house owner about the rendezvous point, what that was like, and or the holding area where you had to wait, or maybe you were before you even made it to the rendezvous point to meet up with the guy. You absolutely do not discuss any details about those stages with anybody. Okay, they're not on a need to know basis. Remember what I talked about on the other side of the tape or the other tape. People that shouldn't know nothing unless they have a need to know. Okay. Alright, Ghost Wolf is not to ask specifics about future stages. If captured, he cannot give up that info. Okay? You just go along, I mean, if the Ghost Wolf has to move to another location, he's told where, when, and who to meet, and this and that, nothing more, but it's right before he has to leave. You should not know that on a Monday, even though he's not leaving until Friday. Okay? Because if he's captured on Tuesday, well, he knows information that could be interrogated out of him about where he was going, and then that place gets busted. Okay, we got to keep the network alive. I wish there was a network. Okay. Ghost Wolf is not to memorize names and places, and he is not to write anything down while at that safe house. Okay. If other Ghost Wolves are at the same safe house, they are not to meet. They should not be socializing with each other. Okay? If one of the Ghost Wolves is captured, he's interrogated, you know? He said, oh, there was another guy there. He had red hair and a red goatee. Oh, yeah, we're looking for this guy. He's wanted in Seattle for some Ghost Wolf activity. You know, shit like that. So try, if you're a safe house owner and you have a couple Ghost Wolves in your place, try to keep them separate. They are not to meet. Try your best not to have them meet or see each other. All right. Keep everyone safe, you know. If Ghost Wolf is under escort by guide to the safe house or holding area, it should be...
Well, there he goes. Lone Wolf. Yeah. Guerrilla Radio, man. Yeah, some good advice there. Better be taping these things and hiding those tapes or putting them on CD and hiding them. You need them for training. Need them for training. Yeah, so in a couple of days I'll put a couple of more shows on that Guerrilla Radio Man has put together. He's got several now. We got a backlog of a few, so we'll give them to you as time goes on, that's for sure. Now, you know, you could get a CB radio and get a tape recorder and put these tapes on there and put a rubber band around the microphone to keep it on and just lay that old microphone on a CB radio and put these things out. Yeah, especially right in the city. Get yourself a halfway decent CB antenna up there and you can go into business. That's right. This is Terrible Tommy. We'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow is Woden's Day. Yeah, Woden's Day. 14 words and 5 words, and remember, don't, whatever you do, leave your home without those 5 words. Plus, a little microtape recorder in your pocket. At any sign of any approach of any law enforcement or people in dark suits that drive SUVs, well, click it on. Don't wait till they get up to you. Click it on. Those little ones now, they'll do 20 hours of taping, so you don't have to worry about it. Or it's not taping, it's on the chip. But even with a tape type, which you can buy them for about $3-4 at a garage sale, you can put a 90-minute tape in there. That gives you 45 minutes, and so I can't think of too many conversations that wouldn't be over in 45 minutes. There you go. We shall see you later. Equal men are not free. Free men are not equal. Most people are always wrong when it's most important to be right. And if you don't listen, you're damn well going to feel. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.